Welcome to the One for the Road podcast. My name is Mr. K. Alongside me, as always, is C-Squared. Tonight's topic, we thought we'd review this masterpiece of animation that was broadcast, I believe, on Halloween, or close to it, on the Comedy Central Network, also owned by the great people of CBS and Paramount Plus. That's where I got it. It was on Paramount Plus. The episode was called The Woman in the Hat, and it was quite spectacular and going to town with a little satire against the Donald Trump administration.
Quite amusing. There is comedy while he has done some interesting and positive things that animation seems quite fitting and was truly a work of art.
Yes. I would have to say the Democrats and the liberals would love this episode. Let's put it that way.
I don't know about that, because I will say when I don't want to spoil anything, I'll let you get to it, but when Pam Bondi goes into the seance, I think there is mutual culpability on both sides of the aisle. I don't think anybody is interested in hearing that story.
Right.
Except the public, of course.
Right. So we're going to break. I've got a summary. I watched the episode today and I wrote a summary of some of the things that were going on. The episode opens with Stan and his dad, Randy, riding in a car discussing that they have to live in a motel and that they've been living in a motel and now they have to move because of the government shutdown is why they're living in a motel. They're no longer living in their house. Stan's dad, Randy, lost his job at the USGS due to the government shutdown. The United States Geological Survey. I had to look that up.
I knew I knew what that was when you said it there, John.
Yeah. But Randy has a plan. He's going to move his family into his grandfather's nursing home, the Shady Acres Retirement Community.
It did.
So the episode opened with that. Great plan. Meanwhile, so they switch back and forth. Meanwhile, Satan and Donald Trump are destroying, remodeling the East Wing of the White House.
Unleashing many evil spirits by knocking down part of the East Wing on the White House.
Right. The scenes of them demolishing it is just unbelievable, which are probably true to life. There's some debate as to what the East Wing remodel is for. Is it for Satan's baby, the Omen, or for a ballroom and dance floor?
Exactly. Well, and so now that you touch on that one, Han, the only one that can lie to and fool Satan, the Donald.
Yeah.
You told me it was going to be for the baby's room. And wow.
Right, the nursery.
We can put a baby's room in there, too. There's a ballroom there. And it's like the king of backpedaling and saying works at the time, dude.
We cut to a scene in the White House where Dan Scavino, the chief of staff, and Pam Bondi have discovered plans to stop Satan's baby from being born. It is called out that Pam's nose is brown. At the same meeting, Stephen Miller, the U.S. Homeland Security Advisor, warns that destroying the East Wing will unleash vengeful spirits in the tradition of Halloween.
He was right. And that the fact that Pam Bondi's brown nose is examined as ectoplasma.
Yes.
Plasma that is freaking, acquired by brown nosing your boss.
Yes.
And then essentially the two other medium investigators determine that its content is filet efficient Taco Bell, and right. they're not allowed to, which is part of the Don's regular menu
diet.
So they're not allowed to actually release that information, so they get imprisoned for trying to actually release that information.
I don't know if you've been watching South Park. I'll be honest, I haven't. But the weirdest scene they had, which was next, was we cut to Peter Thiel calling J.D. Vance from a motel room.
Yeah,
Thiel sedated one of the South Park kids. I'm guessing it was Cartman.
Yeah, J.D. Vance being the small person tattoo from the 70s. Hey, boss.
Yeah. With his white suit on.
With his little white suit on. And quite amusing. I am quite shocked that they are getting away with saying that implying those things about Mr. Thiel. quite amusing. You never know. But bottom line is that he did have a brief relationship with Mr. Epstein, as many tech companies did. So that's why that's why I think that played in there, but it is funny that JD is just a spy for Peter Thiel.
Right. Well, I didn't know this. I had to look this up, that Vance once worked for Thiel.
Yes, right. And then he funded Thiel's private equity deal, and then he gave him a bunch of money to run for Senate. He is quite tied to that ship.
Lots of interesting relationships going on. The government's full endorsement of Palantir to be the database of everything, and one of Thiel's many holdings, let's put it that way.
And they didn't play, just because of that relationship, they didn't play into the actual CEO of that operation, the creepy Alex Karp dude. Doesn't need to be animated. He's super creepy in real life.
Well, some of the guys we'll discuss later on is the Stephen Miller is like portrayed like a lurch character, like an evil butler, or like almost like a Peter Lorre.
That's hilarious, man.
I forget the other thing.
Of course, they do go into the seance led by Pam Bondi, and she starts to channel Epstein, and then the Don's like, okay, that's enough of that.
Stop the seance.
Okay, stop that. Not that that is the only corruption in DC, just one small chunk. I think it all goes across the aisle. So the reason it's never exposed, he said, she said, across the aisle, is because it basically affects 90% of the slime bags up there.
Right. And that goes back to something you've always said, is like Donald Trump's promise to drain the swamp. It's like,
I mean, it is just Congressman Tim from Tennessee, what's his last name, Burchill, or has basically, he spilled the beans and basically said, dude, it is a two-party system of complete and utter corruption. As soon as you arrive in that town, if you've been elected to be a dog catcher, your party, it essentially brings you across the street from wherever your post is, and opens the kimono on how the criminality actually works, man.
Right.
And it's what a coincidence. It's the same exact speech from the DNC or the GOP.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, this is how the criminal operation operates underneath the covers. How far would you like to go in this criminal operation?
Right. And this brings me back to my point about Thiel. I mean, Thiel is based. I mean, you can dispute this if you want, but I'll state this. Thiel's just borrowing from the George Soros playbook and doing it for the Republicans. I mean, he's funded like 32 Republican elections.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't really have as much problem with him putting some money into elections as I do the actual product that Palantir delivers.
Right, right.
Because it's dangerous no matter who's operating it.
Right.
You know, and in 8 years from now, you have no idea who will be operating that thing.
Right.
And
right. Oh,
So there you go.
Might even be 3 years from now.
And it appears to be you essentially get in there and to win a bunch of business from the government.
Yeah.
And so that apparently is the plan. And that right. seems to be working well for many companies.
Yes, yes.
See, how it works for the has worked for the military industrial complex for many, many decades.
Especially lately.
You look at that and say, gee, many Christmas. But I mean, so it is good. We have obviously had many podcasts about comedy, and it is good that somebody points out the obvious comedic elements of different things. There are, you know, it didn't really have to be. I could have wrote 1,000 scripts about different comedic things that were happening in DC. That just happened to be one of them.
Right.
You know, it's like you could go down. Almost anything that happens up there is a tragic comedy.
Right. Yeah, it's just really, really good comedic writing, really good use of satire. The episode continues with Vance fears that Bondi is after his job. We cut to Shady Acres retirement community where two of Stan's friends, Kenny and Kyle, visit him. Stan voices frustration that South Park sucks due to the political climate and is broken and going nowhere.
Should we go into the one of the greatest ironies of the piece, and where they launched the crypto coin?
Yes.
Okay, so coming up. So since South Park sucks, they launched the South Park sucks crypto coin to rival the Don getting into office and having Don Jr. freaking launch his some kind of whatever crypto scam that those guys were running. And it's like, this is over the top.
Right.
And so then they're essentially playing the market until their crypto crashes.
Right.
Until the worthless crypto crashes. Quite amusing. And that was a brilliant tie in there. And
yeah, they discovered that Stan there releases a video about, you know, how South Park sucks because of the political climate on YouTube. And overnight he gets 750,000 views. So he's like, well, now we got to parlay into phase two. And phase two is to sell crypto.
Isn't that hilarious?
Like you had stated, to sell the crypto and just,
God,
run it up and then have it die. And they walk away with all the money. Meanwhile, I'll continue on with some other parts of this episode. Meanwhile, the White House, Trump is stating that he sees an entity since tearing down the East Wing. The entity looks like Melania Trump punched over
in the corner.
You're right.
And he can't quite, and he can't, and ironically enough, he can't quite identify who it is.
Right. Right. Well, eventually he does. There's another scene where Trump discovers her in the bathroom after he took a shower. He rushes into the bedroom with Satan.
Dude.
And this is where Trump has named the entity the Woman in the Hat, hence the title of the episode. Yeah. Pam Bondi tries to calm the president down, but more brown has appeared on her nose.
Wow. And the newly remodeled bathroom. He's taking a shower in the newly remodeled bathroom with the golden shower.
Yes, the golden shower. That's right. I forgot about that. That's right. The golden shower.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, that was funny. We find out, we cut to Shady Acres and we find out that Stan has employed Kyle's cousin, Kyle. to be his crypto advisor, and he's on it. He knows exactly how to execute on the plan. What else? We go back to the White House. It's night, and there's a thunderstorm. And this is the scene you had discussed. The paranormal investigators show up, and they start to really diagnose Pam Bondi, and Bondi indicts him and throws him in jail.
Paranormal investigators.
On charges of disseminating false data, making a callback, I would say, to Trump when he got upset with the jobs data not being exactly what it was.
Well,
to his liking.
So that I believe that just to be his excuse. Back into reality here, man.
Right.
For 4 years under Uncle Joe, there was not a believable piece of information out of any government organization. And everything was so, it was almost like, this isn't a little false. It is so false that if you were a publicly traded company and released this, the SEC would be at your doorstep morning. That's how blatantly bad and false this information is.
Yeah, I know they loved manipulating the jobs data to make it appear more positive. And it was like, no one's ever manipulated the job data like this ever.
Right, exactly. Dude, yeah. I mean, it's so blatantly manipulated. And you know, it's like that. And they've been, but of course, they've been manipulating the inflation data for years. Decades.
Right,
That's when anything actually gets out of whack, they just change out how they... what the core products are that they're using to gauge inflation. And
when
rent goes too high or energy goes too high, they just pull it out. And I can say, that's not part of it.
Yeah, wonderful. Cut back. Stan and Kyle have an argument concerning the South Park sucks mission, as Kyle just sees Stan is trying to make money from crypto and that he's only thinking of himself. We cut to Kyle's cousin. Kyle has arrived at the White House. Kyle informs Steve Miller he's there to meet Don Jr. so he can put the official stamp on the South Park sucks cryptocurrency. During this, they bump into Brendan Carr, the head of the FCC, who has lost his speech and whose arm is bandaged to form a Hitler-like salute. which is unbelievable.
Dude, you could, they left nothing, did nothing right out of there. It was hilarious.
The best is like, that's the head of the FCC. He's lost his speech. It's classic. Don Jr. and Kyle's meeting is interrupted by Pam Bondi, who instructs them to meet in the dining room for a seance. Dan is frantically trying to reach Kyle as the price of his cryptocurrency is cratering to the ground. Then comes the seance. The seance is comprised of members of the cabinet, including Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the seance is led by Pam Bondi. During the seance, the woman in the head appears. Kristi Noem's face melts during the seance. Kyle loses it and confesses that crypto is just a giant money laundering scheme to get rich and begs mercy. So what did Kyle get for his efforts? He's indicted by Pam Bondi and thrown into prison for 10 years.
That's hilarious.
Fox News proclaims it as Pam exposes his giant crypto fraud scheme.
That's right. Right before Donald Jr. did not sign off on it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. We cut to Shady Acres, where Stan apologizes to Kyle. Kyle states, things will get better, and we have to make the most of where we are. The outro plays If I Didn't Care by the Ink Spots, which is a favorite tune they used to play a lot on Better Call Saul.
And guess what? They were right. So right now as we speak, Congress is voting on reopening the government. So there you go.
The last scene, they show the woman in the hat in the second floor of the White House. So really great episode, written and directed by Trey Parker. The guy is brilliant. And, you know, I think what you had stated before the podcast is, you know, you can get away with anything in animation. Imagine this was live action. Imagine if this was on SNL.
Right. Right. And Good Lord. And the other thing is that I think that they have some of the best comedy writers. They've taken good comedy writers and put them there because some of that stuff is just absolutely hilarious.
Right. Right. Well, that was just Trey Parker. That was it. He had no other co-writers for this episode. And he's the co-creator of South Park.
Yeah, that is quite hilarious. And
so he's quite genius. So, yeah. So sometimes you don't need, like, the traditional writing room like SNL has and the others and sitcoms used to have with, like, 12 people around the table writing. Like crazy.
Well,
this is just one dude.
The other deal, the fact that he bought the website, that they really did buy the website, southparksocks.com, and it redirects you. It's supposedly a place to complain about South Park. About them having writing too much political content, and you go there and it redirects you back to the South Park site.
Oh, Nate.
In other words, piss off, man.
Right. But it's just a phenomenal show. I mean, you know, if you think back when I was really young, I would have never dreamed a show like that would ever air without any controversy or anything. I mean, it's got swearing and everything. And I mean, this episode aired on TV. It's just like...
I will tell you what, dude. The fact that that episode airs does say that there is still free speech in America.
Oh, yes.
And the bottom line is that it's great. That was a great use of free speech because I left for half an hour, man.
Oh, my God. It's just phenomenal. The one point you said is, like, you know, it appears comedy's alive in the form of animation. I mean, right. Not getting any good comedy movies. And look at the rest of the dreck that the big three networks give you and right. call comedy. No, I mean, who in the right mind watches that?
Yeah, right, right, exactly. And that's my point, too.
But that was a very good suggestion, C-Squared, and I thoroughly enjoyed that episode.
If you have not watched that episode, it is well worth your time. Even if you are a MAGA person, it is, if you don't laugh at that, yeah, there you have no sense of humor, because it is quite amusing.
Right. And little plug, I caught that on Paramount Plus. I would highly suggest people subscribe to Paramount Plus. They have every season of South Park. So if you really want to binge on South Park, 28 seasons of South Park available on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, where's our sponsorship, boys?
Yes, yes. Or CBS, you know, either one. All right, that does it for us. You can watch this video on YouTube. Please like and subscribe. You can email us at theroadpodcast@gmail.com. We do have a website, oneforthroad.net. I owe people some transcripts. I'm actively working on transcripting our episodes so people could read them, because this is just fantastic content.
Almost as good as South Park. You should tell those guys to give us a call. We'll help them with their. We'll help them refine their next script.
Yes, and South Park needs all the promotional help they can get from us.
That's right.
Three different audio platforms you can get us on. That is Podbean, RSS, and Spotify. For C-Squared, I'm Mr. K. Have a good week.
As always, thanks for tuning in, folks. Have a good one.